Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lauren McGill.
And I'm Sarah Burdnick.
And we, together, make up the Scream Team. Welcome to our weekly podcast, where we are going to be discussing
horror.
We're going to be talking about horror books, horror TV shows,
horror movies, horror video games, basically anything that has to do with
horror.
So before we even begin, we'd like to talk to everyone about Loot Crate.
Loot Crate is super cool. You basically get a grab bag of random stuff, nerd stuff, online. You sign up for monthly packages, there's different price points, and you just get some random cool stuff.
This month's theme is Summon. I'm not really sure what that means, but some of the other themes have been like supervillains and superheroes, lots of that. They had a fantasy one where it was like Game of Thrones and Harry Potter stuff.
Supervillain one was really cool too. They had like Joker and Venom. Mm-hmm. You get t-shirts, backpacks, collectible cards, video games, all kinds of random stuff. And it's like getting a surprise present for yourself every month.
And I think you can get entered into a monthly giant box of some kind. And it's like worth up to $2,000 worth of stuff. There's all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, some random person just gets like a mega crate once a month. You're automatically entered when you sign up for the monthly boxes.
Yeah. So 1 month is $30. You can cancel it at any point in time. Or if you want to buy 3 months, it's $27. And this is per month for 6 months. And then a year is $26 a month. Plus you get a bonus gift.
And you can basically just check online and see what the theme of the crate is. So if it looks like something that you'd be super into, you can sign up just for that month.
Yeah.
If it's something you're down with.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely going to try out Loot Crate soon because it sounds really cool.
Yeah. I need some new t-shirts, I think.
I just like the idea of getting a random present in
mail. It's Christmas in August.
Pretty much. I sometimes just order random things for myself. From like Etsy or whatever, and I just get little surprises in the mail, and it rules because you forget that you even ordered it sometimes, and it's just like, yes! You never get any good mail, so it's exciting, you know?
Happy early birthday to me.
Pretty much. I get one birthday every month. So the first movie we're going to talk about
Wait. Before we start, my water bottle sounds like someone's screaming when I drink it, and I want to see if the mic will pick it up.
That's haunted, man. Watch out.
I think I need
a haunted water bottle.
Yeah.
Okay, so haunted water bottle.
I can't believe that worked.
Babadook.
Okay, Babadook.
Okay, so the Babadook is basically a movie about a really, really annoying kid, and he drives his mother completely insane, like all the way insane.
She has a very sad, dismal life because, like, she hates her child and everyone else hates her child too, especially her sister.
So it is, like, you kind of are led to believe that it's, like, a movie about some kind of supernatural creature. And it is to some extent, but I think the true horror of this movie, like the worst part for me, is just the fact that this mom has this horrible kid and she can't love him. Like, she finds it hard to love her own child because he's just the worst fucking kid. He made me insane. He made my boyfriend unable to watch this movie. Man. We tried watching it together over the summer. And he angrily shut it off, and he erased the movie from our hard drive. I had told him that I was planning to finish watching the movie on my own time, and he was like, no, this is the worst movie ever. It's getting erased. I can't have this on my hard drive. And so I actually had to re-download it legally just to see what happened with stupid kid. And I admit, I was like, okay, I'm gonna just get through this somehow. It'll be okay.
We're not even over-exaggerating. Like, he screams all the time. He builds, I mean, he's kind of smart. He builds, like, these contraptions because he always thinks that there's monsters everywhere. So, I mean, he has this, like, backpack, and it's a catapult on his back, and he's gonna, like, shoot it at the monsters. But then he breaks windows with it, and he shoots his mom with it all the time.
He's a violent kid. He gets in trouble at school all the time.
He pushes his cousin out of a treehouse. I mean, to be fair, she also deserved that, because she was making fun of...
Yeah, his cousin's a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
She laughs at the fact that his dad died, which is...
not something that you make fun of people for.
That's pretty harsh. Yeah. But,
But anyway, that's long tangent. But so, she reads to him every night before he goes to bed. And then one night, this red book called Mr. Babadook appears. And
he says, weird book that just shows up in the house somehow. There's no explanation for
it.
And
the
kid's like, I want to read that.
Mommy, read me this horror story before I go to bed. Okay, son. It's a horrifying, horrifying book. I actually would like to read you the entirety of Mr. Babadook, if you will permit me. It's in a word, or it's in a look. You can't get rid of the Babadook. If you're a really clever one and you know what it is to see, then you can make friends with a special one, a friend of you and me. It's off to a great start.
It's kind of like a really fucked up Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, if Dr. Seuss, like, took...
Dr. Seuss
Crack.
Is a little bit more twisted.
Yeah. I want to scare the kids today. His name is Mr. Babadook, and this is his book. There's also, like, these nightmarish pop-ups at the same time that this is all going on. Like, there's this giant...
Yeah, it's a pop-up book.
Yeah, this giant, like, black shadow, like, hovering over... He doesn't look friendly.
You know what's really cool? I'm just gonna interrupt this whole thing. They... actually made handmade versions of the book.
Did they?
That you could buy from the Babadook website for $80 a piece.
Oh.
And they're made by the same artist that made them for the movie.
That's...
And so you could get your own creepy-ass Babadook pop-up book if you wanted one.
Does it actually move like it does later in the movie?
I don't think it's actually
because
haunted.
Because that was intense.
I don't know. I haven't bought one. But it could actually bring a Babadook into your life. But if you're willing to risk it, you could have gotten this really crazy book exactly like the one in the movie.
Next week on the Scream Team, we're going to test out this haunted book.
Is it real?
Nothing's going to go wrong.
I'm going to buy one.
Oh my god. Yeah, so, and the book just, like, goes on, and, like, there's something knocking at the door, and, oh my god. See him in your room at night, and you won't sleep a wink. I'll soon take off my funny disguise, take heed of what you've read, and once you see what's underneath, you're going to wish you were dead. And this is basically where the movie does one of their most amazing cutscenes, and it just sort of cuts from that to the child screaming and crying in his mother's lap while she tries to read him something a little bit more friendly.
So, you know, what I found weird is, you know, the Babadook rhymes in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's all rhyming crap.
Yes.
And, like... later on in the movie, when the mom starts to really lose it, there's one part where she is talking to her son, and she's like, I'm sick of all your talking. Like, she is becoming the Babadook. I just noticed that after the second watching, like, she is basically becoming the monster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the Babadook. It was Dr. Seuss. It was his tormented soul. And he's... Yeah, and I mean, obviously from there, things go horribly downhill. And she tries to rip up the book and throw it out, which I'm sure you can tell it doesn't work.
It comes back. It just inexplicably arrives on their doorstep, and it's fully intact after she destroyed it. So at that point, you're like, okay, well, this kid is really annoying and really just the worst kid ever. But maybe there's something to all his screaming and whining. At that point, I was like, okay, there could be something supernatural going on. It's not just the annoyingest kid.
Okay, kid, it is time to move. There's a book haunting our house, and no one ever moves in these movies. Like, something bad starts happening, get out of there.
It's like, true. And their house, they have the dreariest house.
Oh my god, it's like dull. I love the color blue, but that shade of blue, like, it kills you.
The whole movie, the just puts you completely on edge. Like, the kid whining, like, the mom's getting super depressed. They both have the worst life. Yeah. And they live in, like, it looks like a haunted house.
It's so claustrophobic and awful.
That's a good point. Like, why didn't they just move out of there, get some sunlight in there, and, like, you know.
Open some windows once in a while.
Spruce it up.
Yeah. Get some flowers. And, I mean, yes, money is an issue. You can't just move away every time a haunted book comes to your doorstep. But, I mean, you have to start balancing money over your life and that of your child, I guess.
And I think a lot of it is just about, you know, it's a single widowed mom who has a kid with a bunch of problems, and that alone is, like, material for a horror movie.
Yeah, you don't even need the monster.
Her life is super hard, and then this crazy supernatural creature comes into it all. And
it just messes things up even worse.
The coolest thing I thought is I am a huge fan of, like, psychological horror movies over, like, the ones gore. With a bunch of gore, a bunch of, like, jump scares. For a lot of this movie, I had no idea if all of this was just in her mind.
It was really hard to tell.
That's what makes it really tense, because you don't know if she's insane or if you should believe the kid or what is even happening for the longest part of the movie.
And that's another thing, is that there were, like, no jump scares in this movie.
And that's good, I think.
Yeah, it was just...
It's such a cheap way of getting scares.
Yes, it is.
And I'm tired of movies relying on that kind of tactic.
Amen.
The other thing I really liked about it was the fact that there was very minimal CG effects.
Mm-hmm.
They relied on, like, puppetry and stop-motion animation for the monster in it. And I think that's way scarier to me. Like, you actually get a sense that there is something there. Whenever there's CG, you always kind of know that it's superimposed over the rest of the movie, and it's just not quite as real for me. And also, puppets are fucking scary. Like,
puppets are the worst to begin with.
I'm just scared of puppets.
And then
general.
They put a top hat on it and gave it razor fingers. I mean, oh my god.
Yeah, he's kind of like a weird, shadowy kind of vaudeville sort of creature.
He looks like the Penguin from that really, really bad Batman movie, you know, played by Danny DeVito. He looks like but, like, taller with a trench coat and razor fingers. I cannot get over the razor fingers. Just, although he never uses them as razor fingers, which kind of defeated the purpose, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Another cool thing about this movie is Jennifer Kent, the person who wrote and directed this movie, this was her first movie that she ever made.
Mm-hmm.
She has never made a big budget movie before. She made one short film several years ago called Monster, which was basically like a mini Babadook. And then she started a Kickstarter campaign and raised $30,000, and she was able to make her first movie, and you would never know.
Yeah, no, this was really good. I think they also, she was planning on filming it in black and white.
I heard that too, yeah. And but, you know,
The blue was so depressing. It was more depressing than...
almost.
It was, like, more depressing than black and white, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The mood on the different sets, it just really gets you after a while watching it.
Yeah, the movie isn't scary. It's just unsettling. Like, it's just, like, deep inside of you. Because you don't know if it's real. You don't know what this Babadook is, where it came from. Like, oh, it's just weird.
And they don't ever really explain what the monster is at all.
No.
It seems like a metaphor for the mother's grief and depression.
Thank you.
But
that's what I was gonna say.
They really don't actually say what it is or how it got there. There's no explanation about that at all.
Yeah, it just sort of comes into their life one day and just fucks everything up super hard. Super duper hard.
Another thing about the production of the movie, the kid was 6 years old, and so obviously the content that he was in wasn't appropriate, like age appropriate for him. Mm-hmm. So the kid didn't actually know what he was doing, really. There was no script reading. They would just do it scene by scene. And the part where the mother is like verbally abusing the kid, there was a stand-in, like she was basically just yelling at nothing because obviously they didn't want to actually traumatize any children for this movie.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to shout at six-year-olds to get a movie.
I think it's pretty impressive. His performance is pretty impressive. Like,
he
I
does
hate
a
him.
Good job.
I hate him.
Yeah,
I hate I hate his voice. I hate his face. But like, that was him acting.
Well,
you know?
he was supposed to play a kid that has, you know, behavior problems, and he did it. And he screamed and he kicked his mom's car chair and just oh man.
And the like this movie wouldn't be any good really if the actors hadn't carried it through.
Oh, the main character, Essie Davis, who plays Amelia.
That's the mother.
She's amazing. Like about, you know, three quarters, I mean, if you want to count this as a spoiler if you plan on seeing the movie.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. She gets possessed by the Babadook and is, you know, going crazier than she already was with complete lack of sleep. She's just so creepy, and she has, like, those weird sort of, like, ticky movements, you know, really jerky movements, like, you know.
And she never sleeps. She's so sleep-deprived.
Oh,
there's
God.
A bunch of scenes of her just kind of zoning out to the TV, and this fucking kid, like, wakes her up every night. She goes, like, weeks without sleep, and you just feel, like, you feel it.
Yeah.
You can tell by looking at her, like, she's got, like, her eyes look kind of hollow, her hair's frizzy, and she's just losing it piece by piece.
You feel exhausted for her. Like, she does such a good job of getting that. Ugh.
Apparently,
so good.
The inspiration for the movie was the director doesn't have kids herself, but she has many friends who have children,
mm-hmm.
and just watching, like, the trials.
This is how she sees
the trials of parenting that she has witnessed.
Oh, yeah.
She has a friend who has a young son who claimed to see monsters, just like the kid in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this mother would talk to the monsters that this kid saw, and this would comfort the child. And she became really fixated on this idea of, you know, the fact that
mm-hmm.
the mother was talking to these monsters, she saw a lot of potential for a weird story based on that.
That goes against every horror movie logic ever. Like, it just seems to set you up for disaster. Hey, mommy, there's a monster in my closet. Oh, let's like, have a conversation and invite
him
for dinner.
Bring him into our lives.
Yes, let's welcome him with open arms. Nothing could go wrong.
Yeah, in the context of a horror movie, you've just asked for trouble. You've begged for trouble.
Yeah, that's...
Apparently, they auditioned 400 kids to be this kid.
Wow.
And he was the most annoying of them all. Can you imagine sitting through...
Oh, my God.
Sitting through 400 auditions for the part of worst kid ever.
Well, and if they would have to act like that kid in the movie, they would just be screaming.
They
mommy!
Would have to. Yeah.
Mommy!
Yeah.
Oh.
That's
400.
How many
400.
How many days is that even? That's like many, many full days of kids being
kids
like, Mom! Mom!
Kids screaming at you. Oh my God.
Brutal.
Brutal, but it paid off.
Yeah, they certainly found the most annoying kid possible, I would say.
Oh, man. It sounds like we're just dragging on this movie so hard, but it's good. I really enjoyed this in a time of strife for the horror movie industry, where you just get so many crappy movies coming out. This one was good.
It's really different. Like, there aren't a lot of good psychological horror movies really coming out. Everything's about
gore.
Shitty CGI and, like, totally excessive gore.
How many
and
sex
just, like,
scenes
boo.
Can we throw
Ooh,
in
I got
there?
Ya.
Yeah.
Something popped out. I spooked ya.
Ha, everyone screamed. What a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
and I don't find that scary. I'm so desensitized after years and years and years of watching every horror movie I can. Like, I've seen the most grotesque things, and now it's just kind of like, eh.
I want something different that is good and
another
really
mutant
me...
that's chopping off people's toes and eating them, and like there was like a whole decade of torture porn almost where
movies?
Like the goriest gore possible was like the thing of the day. And honestly, that's, I don't know, I never really found that scary.
There's nothing scary about, you know, people waving off chopped off limbs that are clearly CGI'd and just blood spraying everywhere. It's not scary, it's gross.
One of my complaints about this movie, I guess, if there was one, was like maybe they showed the Babadook too much.
Yeah.
Because I like movies like The Blair Witch or The Village or...
I'll have to agree to disagree with you on The Village, but...
Fair enough.
That's okay.
We can talk about The Village in another episode and, like, have it out.
Oh, you're going... You and your M. Night Shyamalan loving is going down.
Paranormal Activity.
Nah.
Yeah. Anyway, I like that one because...
Well, the first one.
My imagination is better than some people's imaginations. And when it lets loose, you know, the fact that this stuff isn't being shown on screen, like, I can fully meet you halfway and make up all the scariest shit in my brain. And I kind of wish they had shown the Babadook a little bit less.
Yeah, because the scenes where it's just, like, the, you know, you hear scratching and, like, the door's opening and you see, like, a really vague shadow sort of run into the corner of the room, that was really scary because you have no idea what that thing is. But, yeah, they end up showing it a couple times and it's just, he looks like the Penguin and it's not as scary anymore when that happens. Although, I gotta say, in horror movies, I love, like, the creepy noises. And the noise that that thing made was the most horrifying thing
That was
ever.
Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you care to do,
can you
demonstrate?
I would love to demonstrate. So it goes something like, Babadook, duck, duck. Thank you. Cue the applause for me. Yeah. I mean, we'll play a clip of it, and it's just, it's so creepy. It's really similar to, like, The Grudge. I thought The Grudge was a really bad movie, but the noise that, like, it's just, it's weird.
Yeah, it's freaky.
Yeah.
I almost wish that, like, in the end, it seems apparent to me, anyway, maybe I got it all wrong, you can kind of, there's a lot of debate to be had about this movie, but... I don't like the fact that the monster is apparently real. I think it would be way freakier if all of this was just in her mind and she went insane and she abused her child.
Yeah.
And this was all her. And I guess it's not totally clear whether it is or isn't, but to me it kind of seemed like at the end they acknowledged that the monster was actually there.
Well, I think you could still argue no, because if you go with the metaphor of it being a grief... And again, spoilers. It's hard to talk about this without
there's
spoilers.
There's gonna be spoilers.
Yeah, there's gonna be spoilers, like, so. Here, there, and everywhere. Spoilers for you, and spoilers for you.
Turn it off now, and quickly watch the movie.
Yeah, watch the movie and come back.
Resume.
But, like, it's sort of, if you think about it as the grief, and it comes in, and it completely destroys her life and takes over, it's like at the end, she's managed to sort of come to a compromise with it. Like, she has it...
That's true. She's like, it's here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it locked up in my basement.
Yeah.
Which is where all the her
yeah,
dead,
all the memories,
husband's clothes are.
Symbolism there.
Yeah.
But yeah, she sort of comes to terms with the fact that this thing isn't going away, unfortunately. So if I just sort of, I don't know, feed it worms every once in a while.
What's with the worms, do you think?
Well, I assume she had to give it something living or some kind of life force to feed off of. Because it seemed to, like, latch onto her and drive her crazy. And she probably figured that worms would be the lesser of all evils, you know, instead of feeding it children.
Yeah, just worms. Yeah.
Although she could have started
most people
with her
like,
sister's daughter.
Most people like children better than they like worms.
Most people, yeah. Most people.
another cool thing about this movie is the writer / director said that there will never be a sequel to this movie.
You know, I'm kind of relieved
to hear
that.
I think that rules.
Yeah.
She owns the rights to it, and
Good.
She forbids
Good.
It. This will not happen
Good.
Because she's not down. And I have to respect that, because honestly, I'm tired of seeing, like, whatever, whatever.
Freddy's 5, back.
10,
Paranormal Activity's back.
Something versus something.
Ugh.
Like, there's, like, every year there's fewer and fewer original movies that just start from scratch. It's always trying to capitalize on, you know, popular franchises and see how far they can push it before.
And people will
go
and...
Everyone fucking hates it.
People will go and see it, though, because, you know... Oh, the first one was good, the second one was decent, I'll go see the third one. And then you just sort of keep going and going, and then, you know.
I just don't care, honestly. I watch them anyway, but I hate when there's sequels,
yeah.
When there's no reason to have a sequel.
Yep.
And we'll probably do an episode at some point about movies with sequels.
Our sequel episode.
Whether or not it's good or bad, and...
Our sequel
podcast.
How
damn many of them there are.
Oh my god, they're everywhere.
It seems
always.
Especially with horror movies that
it's,
that's the case.
Yeah. I think it's just because it makes money. And
definitely.
Oh, and I guess if you want to consider it a trigger warning for the movie, if you do not like seeing violence against animals, you're probably not going to like this movie.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of it, but there is one scene that, you know, an animal meets a rather unpleasant demise.
That's a bad time.
Yeah, it's not a
I've
good time.
I actually
for
felt worse for the dog than I did for the kid.
But that's
fuck
the,
this kid,
that's
man.
That's the same with every movie.
But the doggy, he
the
didn't
doggy.
Do anything.
You know, it's like movies
that
like
was
I
really
am
sad.
I Am Legend, you know, you watch it and you're like, well, I mean, I feel bad for Will Smith because he's all alone. But then the dog.
The
how
dog.
Could you do that to the dog?
It's funny how just like people
People love animals more than they love humans, at least in movies. You feel for them.
I don't know. I mean, especially when the characters are just kind of loathsome. Like, the mother the mother and the son at
have
different
issues
points are both just like, oh, these people are the worst.
Yeah.
I kind of just want all of them to die.
yeah, but the dog
don't.
Is just, it's helpless.
But the puppy,
yeah,
he didn't
the puppy,
do anything.
He was just trying to help.
He didn't need to die.
Yeah, it was needless.
But yeah,
it was bad.
Watch out for that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's still good.
Yeah, watch it anyway.
Yeah.
And watch out.
And watch out. Yeah.
I guess another cool thing is just how, like, as much as the appearance of the Babadook is kind of, you know, he's kind of weird and shoddy looking almost, but I think, like, he does look like a kid's drawing of a monster.
He does, actually. Like, it is a very... He looks really childlike. And it's believable that that thing could have come out of, you know, a messed up children's book.
Yeah. I really wish that I had been able to get my hands on one of those real copies of the book.
That would have been... If they were still selling them...
Apparently, it was a limited edition. They are no longer for sale, but...
We'll check eBay.
That would have been cool.
They might have used copies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if the book wasn't going to have that creepy pop-up near the end, though, where, like, she starts moving and strangling things, and then she, like, she cuts her own throat in the book, and then, like, fake paper blood comes out. I mean, if it wasn't going to do that, I don't think I'd be spending $80 on it.
I hope it's haunted, honestly, for $80.
Better come with a damn spirit for $80.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, there better be, like, I hope all of that, the movie basically happens to me for
$80.
Then I would feel like I had my money's worth.
It's like the full experience.
I don't have a child. I wonder if I will just start hating my own cats.
Ooh, no. I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think you could ever do that. Let's be honest.
Yeah. That's what the mother thought in the movie, though.
Yeah, that's true.
No, actually, it seemed like she hated her kid for quite a while.
I don't think she hated him. I think she resented him because, you know, her husband died on the way to giving birth to him, and so he's never allowed to have birthdays because it's on the same day, you know. 7 years later, she still didn't get over it. So I think she resented him, and then he gives her a lot of reason to.
That's true.
Just keeps going. Yeah, this movie got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
People on Rotten Tomatoes hate everything.
They're not bitter, but they're very ruthless. Especially with horror movies.
There's
to get
some bitter
a 90,
tomatoes on there.
There's some bitter tomato. To get a 98 as a horror movie on Rotten Tomatoes, to me, says that everyone should
That's really
watch
good.
It. Yeah, that's
so,
unheard of.
obviously something going on in the Babadook is a little bit out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your typical horror movie, and people who think that they hate horror movies might actually get into this, because it's almost more of a drama, and it's more about the relationships between the mother and son than it is about any kind of spooks or supernatural crap.
Yeah, if you hate jump scares because they always make you piss yourself, and you hate gore and all of that other stuff, and, you know, your friends drag you to the horror movies, and you go, oh, God, not again, Babadook might actually be pretty good for you, except for that sound. That sound will give you nightmares, and it will live in your dreams.
It's a mindfuck movie. It's not a creature movie.
Sorry.
I had to do it.
So another thing that's kind of weird about this movie compared to others is the mother and the son are basically innocent characters, in the sense that, like, they have already dealt with a whole bunch of tragedy in their lives. They're not people that are going out and taunting the supernatural forces. They're not having sex in a haunted house.
No, like, seances, no Ouija boards.
No, they're not actively
like
trying to summon anything. They don't, like, you don't really feel like they deserve their comeuppance at all. I mean, maybe the kid, but kid's
at
gone
the same
through some
time,
shit, though. Like,
and he's also six. He's six years old.
His dad died because of him, he thinks.
Yeah. His mom is, you know, tired all the time. He has behavioral issues. I mean, we rag on him a lot, but, I mean,
He's a shitty kid.
Yeah.
But, like,
he's
gone through a bunch of shit.
Yeah. And then this just, it makes it, tragedy just makes it so much worse.
Yeah, it's kind of a different turn than a lot of other movies where you're like, I hate these people. Like, I mean, I do hate the kid, but the mom, though, like, the mom's life sucks.
Mom's life is awful.
And, like, she's a widow, and she has a job where she doesn't get paid that much money, and her own kid just ruins her life. Her kid doesn't let her sleep. He's causing trouble. Like, she's having trouble loving her own kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then, on top of that, all this other stuff happens to her, and it's a little bit of a different turn than other movies, you know, where I'm hoping that
you're rooting against
everybody
them.
And it dies. Yeah, you're rooting against them.
Yeah, like, you've
like
got
a slasher
your
flick, you know, where some dumb person, you're like, come on, just, the killer's gonna catch you, you're gonna get killed.
Yeah, you've got
and
your
I'm gonna laugh.
your party of, oh, here's your rich, attractive white kids and, like, the one, you know, non-white kid that dies first because what the hell.
Yeah, it's always a bunch of, like,
and then they do stupid shit and they're drunk and they're screwing each other and
let's see what's in the basement.
Yeah, let's go to this, like, lodge out in the woods in the middle of nowhere in a snowstorm. Let's look in the basement. Let's taunt spirits. Like, let's do all of this on the anniversary of someone's death.
Let's split up, you guys.
Yeah, let's split up. My favorite thing in all of
we'll be better able to handle it each individually with no weapons.
Exactly. But, yeah, and you're sort of rooting against them because they're not very redeemable. And they, whoa, man, they brought this on themselves.
But then
the kid,
it turns out the kid is right, though.
Yeah.
I hate the kid, but then it's like, the monster is real. And the kid is able to love his mother despite her abuse at the end of this, when she herself is not capable of the same.
Yep.
She fails to show her kid love, and it gets worse and worse. Like, she tells him to eat shit at one point when he says he's hungry. Like,
I think that was after she was possessed, in her defense.
It's true.
I don't think she was telling her kid to eat shit, like, right off the bat.
No. But if you run with the metaphor, though, then
her grief caused her to spiral out of control. Yeah. She couldn't control it anymore.
But
it
then
just
in her worst moment,
The kid saves her. He comes down as, like, a beacon from the gods, and he's like, it's okay, mommy, I love you. And you're like, whoa, excuse me?
Yeah, she's thrashing around on the floor, all
after
tied
he,
up.
He beat the crap out of her with his inventions, which was, you know,
yeah, and
good,
it's like
good stuff.
It's like an Exorcist style
scene. It's like Home
Alone. The mom's like,
and the kid just faces up, like, to her, and he's like, nope.
I love you anyway, mommy. Yeah. And you're like, all right, kid.
You're not so bad.
You're fine, I guess.
Yeah.
I
if you didn't scream as much, I would like you a lot more.
If you made less sounds with your mouth, I would feel more sympathy for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, the kid does redeem himself, so
And of course, you know, other than the fact that they have a monster eating things living in their basement, it's a fairly happy ending for them.
And then the mom vomits up some sort of black goo at one point. Which I guess she physically expels the Babadook.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
That was very interesting.
Horror movies wouldn't be complete without some kind of black goo and coming out of somewhere.
Someone vomiting something, and if it's black goo, you get bonus points.
It's true.
There has to be black goo coming out of someone's orifice.
Coming
somewhere.
Out of something, yeah.
We won't go too much into detail.
NSFW.
Trigger warning. Black goo coming out of places.
Black goo might be your trigger, so I think it's pertinent that we warn anyone with a black goo trigger. You may not want to listen to any of our upcoming episodes.
There's going to be black goo and...
Black goo, just spurting out.
And you know what else there's going to be a lot of in our upcoming episodes? Horror. Oh, good.
I guess let's wrap up the Babadook.
The Babadook.
We're gonna give this movie a rating.
Yep.
So what would you rate the Babadook?
4.5, probably haunted water bottles out of 5.
All right. I think I would...
Sorry.
I think I would agree with that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Either a 4 or a 4.5.
I would recommend this movie to other people, for sure. Mm-hmm. But only people who lean towards the psychological horror type of movies. There's a lot of people that are gonna hate this movie, and I've read a lot of reviews where people just can't handle it because, you know, there's no jumps, there's no gore, really.
Yeah, I've heard people say that they think it's a little bit too boring, which I don't think it is.
Depends what you look for in a horror movie.
Yeah.
I like the feeling of unease and like the fact that the characters are gradually going insane. Like, to me, I find that scary and disturbing.
Yep.
And it made me physically uncomfortable to watch this movie. So if you like that...
then probably going to like this one.
Then check it out.
Yeah, for sure. And don't forget, go to lootcrate.com. Get yourself some cool loot.
Check out Loot Crate. See what kind of deal they have this month.
Yeah. Try it out. You might get some actually cool stuff.
Tune into our show every week because it's not always just going to be about movies.
We've got lots of cool stuff that we want to talk about.
And on top of just, you know, discussing or reviewing a certain movie, we're going to have different themes. We're going to do top 5 or top 10 lists of different types of movies. We're going to interview other people about their favorite horror movies, including really bad horror movies.
Oh, we're going to get there.
If you like the type of horror movies that are so bad, like, not scary, but they're so bad that they're hilarious, we're going to go into that realm as well.
We're going to be diving headfirst into those movies because they're out there, and they're waiting for you to watch them.
We're going to talk about books that became movies.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about new stuff that's coming out.
Sequels.
And based on the descriptions that we have to go with, we're going to try and guess what those movies are about and whether or not they'll be good.
Yep.
Best horror movie scenes, best horror movie villains.
Mm-hmm.
And like we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of horror TV shows.
Yeah.
I'd like to do an episode where we talk about Black Mirror,
which
is one of my favorite horror TV shows.
I have seen that too.
We might talk about The Walking Dead. There's a new season of Walking Dead coming out this fall.
Yeah. We'll get you guys all prepared.
Horror movie cliches. There's many, many horror movie cliches that we can get into.
We're going to do an episode about some horror games, especially some that have just come out recently.
Yeah, there's some really messed up games. It's almost worse than watching a horror movie because
you're killing these people.
Should I do this? Should I open the door?
There's
terrifying things chasing you and you have no weapons, like survival horror games where
Amnesia,
all you can do. Yeah, we're going to talk about Amnesia for sure. All you can do, really, is hide under the bed.
And hope that the scary monster doesn't see you and eat you.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And there's a lot of new horror games where, like the more scared you get, everything in the game gets really messed up and weird. Like the screen goes all shaky. You can hear your heart pounding and stuff. It's really trippy.
Yeah, there's some games out. There's a game out recently that every single choice that you make affects the characters. So you can completely unintentionally kill someone by some stupid little action that you took earlier. It's good stuff. So, and we also want to hear from you. So email us, screamteamrrc@gmail.com. I mean, let us know if you liked our episode. If you didn't like it, please actually tell us what you didn't like.
Give us feedback. Let us know what you thought of The Babadook, too.
If we can talk about it.
If our subscribers have watched one of the movies we've discussed and you disagree with our assessment of it,
let us know.
We will bring it back up in future episodes.
Yeah, suggest movies, suggest TV shows and games. Like, just let us know what you want us to blabber on about.
Yeah,
for an
if you've
hour.
Heard of something cool that you think we might not know about,
yeah,
let
for
us
sure.
know, because we would love to check it out.
We definitely do.
And I guess that's it for this week's episode of The Scream Team. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for tuning in.
This has been Sarah.
And Lauren.
With The Scream Team.
Ooh.
And tune in. tune in every Wednesday at 8 a.m. and we'll have a new episode out for you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Sleep well.
Don't let the Babadook get you.